Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house, everyone. As we do each week, please take a moment to sign the friendship register at the end of the aisle and pass it along to those seated next to you. You'll notice in your bulletin announcement flyer this morning our current needs for the food pantry and the Family Promise collection of clothing. Also, take a look at the monthly agenda in your bulletin for a schedule for various committee meetings and fellowship events taking place through the month of October. And of course, our choir is back and our presence has been since Labor Day. And our music director, Ryan, would love to chat with you about your interest in singing in the choir. And please note that next Saturday morning, October 8th, we are having a work day inside and around the church grounds. Every able-bodied person is needed. We'll begin around 9 a.m. And please bring any lawn and garden tools you may have to help us with some of the outside lawn work. All right, we have a minute for mission. I'd like to introduce our guest speaker this morning, Safari Bob.
Good morning. Good morning. Please join us at Don and Judy Thomas's farm for our annual fall festival with a hayride at 4 o'clock today. Hot dogs and drinks will be provided. Please bring a side dish, chips, desserts to share, and a lawn chair if you have one. Meet at the church at 3:45 if you want a carpool. P.S. You can still be home in time for the Chiefs kickoff. We want to thank you, everyone who helped make the spaghetti dinner for the weekend food bags a huge success. A total of $2,140 was raised. Thank you. We were blown away by your generosity. Operation Christmas Child, shoeboxes filled with little items to send to needy children overseas. Brochures and plastic shoeboxes will be in the back next week. Just check out the number of shoeboxes you would like to fill and return them by November 20th. Please read the how to pack the shoeboxes, especially the do not include candy, toothpaste, gum, and so on. The Thanksgiving tree will start toward the end of October. Pick up a leaf from the Thanksgiving tree in the foyer outside the sanctuary and buy the items found on the leaf. Bring the items on Sunday morning and place them under the tree. Please also return the leaves for the use next year. Thanksgiving food boxes will then be made for needy families from Early Childhood Center. Please have food here by Sunday, November 20th. We really do belong to a very loving, caring church family. Thank you, everyone, for all you do.
Bob, I hope you take the choir robe off before you get on the hayride, please. Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Praise the Lord.
Praise God in His temple.
Praise Him for the mighty things He has done.
Praise His supreme greatness.
Praise the Lord, all living creatures.
Praise the Lord.
We'll now sing stanzas 1 and 4 of hymn number 22, All Creatures of Our God and King.
And with us sing, Alleluia.
bow and a word of prayer. Lord God, as we enter your house this morning, we give you thanks for the traditions of our faith and the comfort we feel in their repetition each time we gather here with our church family. We find power in your spoken word, and we find comfort in those traditions that we hold close to our hearts. And we are grateful this morning for the power of forgiveness and the promise of redemption and eternal life as we speak our own confessions of faith to you, Lord, and to those around us. We welcome now the presence of the Holy Spirit as we begin our worship service this morning, and as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. All right, please be seated. Please be seated. All right, we'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Well, good morning, guys. How's everybody this morning? Are we good? Let's see. Do you like to be creative? Do you like to make things? Do you like to color and draw and glue things together and... I know this one does. Yeah, most of kids do. I like to make things. So when we try to make things, first off, we have to decide what we're going to make, right? Yeah, we have to make a plan. Then we got to get a craft bucket or a craft box, or we have to get our supplies together, don't we? Sometimes it looks kind of like this. Yeah? Yeah, with paper and glue and maybe some crayons and maybe some pipe cleaners and there's rocks in there. There's all kinds of things in there, isn't there? And then once we get all our stuff together, then we can make something. And I brought a couple things that some of our Sunday school kids have made. And this is one of them. I don't know whose it is. I stole it from the room. But yeah, you put things together and it's upside down. And so you make things, right? That class made this, it was with the Ten Commandments. Or something like this, one of the parables of Jesus. How big do you think God's craft bucket was when he made everything? Do you think God had to have a big craft bucket before he could make everything? Actually, no, not so much. God only had to speak. He just had to say, "Let there be light," and there it was. Because God has big, powerful words. Today in church, we're going to learn more about how powerful words can be. Your words, my words. We already know God has powerful words. He created everything just by saying. So, let's have a little prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for creating all the beauty in this world, for giving us every day the sun and the rain and the birds and the trees and the flowers, all of this beauty that we love and that we enjoy each and every day. Help us to learn the power of our words and to guard what we say. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
As we go to God in prayer today, we want to especially lift up Butch and Patty Miller. Butch has discovered through some testing that he is now dealing with lung cancer and will be exploring treatment options for that. We also want to lift up Ed and Shirley Keel. They're not here with us this morning because Ed just recently got out of the hospital. He has some lung concerns and is having that treated, so we hope that he'll be feeling much better soon. Their son, David, he is continuing his rehabilitation after having that very significant stroke on his left side a few weeks ago. So please keep David in prayer in the midst of his recovery. We also remember Betty Foster. We lift up Diana Stone. We lift up Larry Pettis and Jill Gregory. We also certainly remember Larry Pitts and Evelyn Prusner. And we also are grateful, Jerry, that you and Betty are with us today. Bless you guys. We keep you in prayer all the time. And we want to lift up Rihanna Ralston. She is looking at the possibility of surgery at St. Luke's on the Plaza tomorrow with the removal of another tumor. She's just had so many health concerns for such an extended period of time. Keep her in prayer. And we also lift up Claire Swanson, the daughter of Jerry Treese's cousin. We lift up Debbie Hamilton, Joan Hamilton's former daughter-in-law. We keep in prayer Debbie Bass and her son Weston, friends of Michael and Christina. We continue to lift up David Brownfield, Samantha Sander, Chris Bishop, and Anoki Krager. So with all of these people upon our hearts, let us lift up a word of prayer before our Lord. Merciful and loving God, as a restless child is comforted by the soothing voice of a parent and can find sleep as a parent sings a lullaby, so also are we comforted by the sound of your voice. Scriptures remind us in 1 Kings chapter 19 that your voice is the still small voice. And John chapter 10 verse 27 tells us that those who follow Jesus are like the sheep that hear the Lord's voice. They know his voice and they faithfully follow his lead. Scriptures also tell us that you speak to us through the scriptures. For Hebrews chapter 4 reminds us that your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and discerns our thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. So even as we are often distracted by the noise and busyness of our daily living, may we discover ways to quiet our minds and perk our ears, that we may hear the gentleness of your calming and guiding voice. For through your word, through your Holy Spirit, and through the gentle nudging of our consciousness, we can genuinely comprehend your desire to give us guidance and to experience the depth of your great compassion for each of us as your children. For as Jesus tells us in John chapter 6, verse 63, the words spoken by Christ, our Lord, are spirit and life. For the great hope we experience by the sound of your voice, O God, we give you thanks, as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord's Supper is the reminder that we should uphold behaviors in word and deed that honor God. Jesus' example gives us the nudges we need to keep on the straight and narrow, much like a parent runs behind the child and steadies the bicycle as the child learns how to pedal and keep one's balance. As Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 tells us, "And your ears shall hear the word behind you, saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." Thus, we humbly seek God's daily guidance through the Lord's Supper's inspiration as we prepare our hearts to receive the bread and the cup. And as we turn to our communion hymn, it's number 425, "Let Us Break Bread Together." We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3, please.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us pray.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as we are led this morning.
Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day, for our church and family, and for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth and sacrificed himself for us. As we partake of the cup and the bread, let us be reminded of that sacrifice for us so that we may live in eternity. In your name we pray, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. In the last portion of his letter to believers in Philippi, the Apostle Paul offers praise and thanksgiving to them for the abundant gifts that they had so freely given to him throughout his missionary travels. Referring to these gifts in Philippians chapter 4, he says that they are like a sweet-smelling offering to God, a sacrifice which is acceptable and pleasing to him. So it is also for us. Our tithes and offerings are like a sweet-smelling offering to God, a sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And we celebrate this truth as Mary leads us in a word of prayer, and we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, may we give our offerings to you with gladness and joy. Thank you for being our strength. Everything we have belongs to you. Bless the tithes and offerings we give today. Amen.
May we stand. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Tuesday, the 1st of November, is what we call All Saints' Day. It's a time to honor the saints of the church, and it's also a time in which we often will lift up the names of loved ones and friends who have passed on before us. And in many contexts of fellowship of faith, you'll find opportunities where people will take a special service to actually honor loved ones on All Saints' Day. For our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church, we're going to have that opportunity the Sunday prior to All Saints' Day, which is Sunday the 30th of October. We will have that opportunity to lift up the names of dear loved ones and friends in worship at both services. More about that as we go along. But in preparation for that special event, have you ever wondered, why is it that we lift up names? Why is it we speak names of those who have departed? Why do we often in a fellowship light candles in memory of people during that special occasion? Well, that also got me to thinking about a number of other questions as we look at the whole idea behind All Saints Day. There's a number of questions that can come to mind. And what I would like to do is embark upon a new series of messages starting today. And so for each Sunday of the month of October, we're going to be looking at different aspects of the speaking of the word, names, and all of this to kind of build up to the 30th of October. And some of the questions that have come to mind to me that I'm going to strive to answer as we journey through this month of October. For example, here on the 2nd of October, what do we know about the power and the promise of God's spoken word and our own spoken word? Then on the 9th, why did God change some people's names in the Bible? Why did Jesus actually give one of his apostles a nickname? And why was it that Jesus asked the demon-filled man on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, "What is your name?" In other words, what was the significance of even having meaning behind names? Then on that third Sunday of the month, the 16th of October, why does Jesus have so many names and what do they mean? Then on the 23rd, how did we ever reach a point where it seemed important to even commemorate an All Saints Day? And then on the 30th, why do we call out the names of deceased loved ones and friends in an All Saints kind of commemoration? So, what I'm hoping you understand is that each Sunday we're going to get a little extra little bit of information that I hope builds a level of understanding as we make our way from today all the way through the 30th of October, five Sundays. What that also means is I hope you will have an incentive to come back, you know, next Sunday, and then the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that, because if you miss a Sunday, you're going to miss part of what this is all about. So you've got to come every Sunday, right? And you've got to invite those people who aren't here and remind them to listen to today's Sunday on the website, right? Anyway, I always have my motivations, don't I? But more than anything, what I hope will happen in this series is that you will have a greater appreciation for the spoken word and for the naming of precious names. The scriptures I share with you this morning, Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with the 10th verse. God says, "My word is like the snow and the rain that came down from the sky to water the earth. They make the crops grow and provide seed for planting and food to eat. So also will be the word that I speak. It will not fail to do what I plan for it. It will do everything I send it to do." And then in the New Testament, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. "If you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from death, you will be saved. For it is by our faith that we are put right with God. It is by our confession that we are saved." May we pray. Loving and merciful God, as we focus on your word and the beliefs even of our Lord Jesus Christ, may we genuinely appreciate the power of your spoken word, as well as the power inherent in the words we also speak this day and always. For it is in the name of Christ that we seek your guidance as we study your word. Amen. This series that I'm beginning today, the title for it is The Power of Naming Names. And we recognize that the very first being to actually speak, certainly in our Judaic Christian tradition, is to believe that was God. And what most of us likely don't understand is how much power people in biblical times of the Old and New Testament both believed was inherent in God's spoken word. In our Western culture, commercialism has been the big driver of our economic engine. And the convenient use of digital devices that certainly is far beyond anything we would have ever even thought about, say back in the 70s or 60s, right? Who would ever be thinking we'd be dragging this little box around in our pockets and picking it up all the time throughout the day, and we've got all this visual stuff and all these words and all this music, and it just goes right to our ears, you know? Like for me, you know, I have that little box I put on my shirt. Y'all seen that from time to time. It connects my phone to my hearing aids. It's one good thing about hearing aids. I don't have to hold my phone up to my ear. I'm listening to you in conversation with my phone just sitting right here. You know, all this crazy stuff. Who would have ever thought that this stuff would have existed back when we were just a bit younger? Notice I said just a bit. Right? Just a bit younger. But here, today, we are constantly bombarded by instantaneous words, music, and visual effects. Our lives are constantly bombarded by this barrage of words, music, and images from the moment we wake up until the moment we try to fall asleep. In fact, I bet there's a few of you out there that while you're lying there and you can't go to sleep, what are you doing? Picking up the phone, you know, going through this, scrolling through that. Maybe if you just start reading a story in the news, you think maybe it'll help you fall asleep, right? But yet, this barrage is so great that we often forget the significance or give any real credence to even what is spoken. Even to the extent that we often don't even take our own words for much value. And we'll just blurt out whatever's on the top of our head without even thinking about the impact it might have on other people. Yet, what you and I must appreciate as we try to reach back into our Hebraic understanding, the kind of understanding that Jesus would have possessed as he lived here on earth, is that the spoken word was believed to be something of great power, especially as it related to Jesus' speaking. Because in Hebraic thought, there is the understanding that as we look at the beginning of the Bible, there was a time in which there was nothing but void. And there was silence. Now, see, I'm making you a little nervous just standing here saying nothing. Right? Because you're thinking, well, what's next? There's supposed to be something to fill that. You know, we cannot have a void. Mike, isn't that right? On the radio, you don't have a void. Dead air space is what it was called. You cannot have dead air in radio and television. But imagine in the Hebraic thought, there was once a time when there was dead air space, void. There was silence. And the book of Genesis then says, and God spoke. And if you look at Genesis, especially in the King James Version, it's easy to follow. Verse after verse, not all of them, but several of them, one after another, you just have to keep following them. We see that expression, and God said. And when God spoke, something happens. And in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Notice that it is in the naming of something, which happens to be nothing, that something comes into existence. All God had to do was just say it, and light came into being. That is real power. The power of God's spoken word is more powerful than any hammer, boots, cloak, or shield possessed by any of the Marvel characters. You see, everybody else has to have something to create something. God needed nothing. That's the power of God's spoken word. And as the text continues here in Genesis chapter 1, other aspects come into being, including land and water, grass, herbs, seeds, trees yielding fruit, day and night, creatures of the sea, creatures of the land, and finally the creation of who? Humanity. Now, doesn't it strike you that of all the creatures that God has created, there is only one that possesses an intelligible spoken word? And what creature is that? You and me, because we are created in whose image? In God's image. And what we know from these actions from God and from many other parts of the Old Testament is that there is a genuine belief that there is power in the spoken word. Then, of course, we can move from the Old to the New Testament. And we must appreciate that even Jesus possesses power in his spoken word. We know that Jesus so often simply states a command and people are healed. When Jesus saw the cripple at the pool Bethesda, in John chapter 5, Jesus simply says to the cripple, pick up your mat and walk. And in obeying that command, it happens. We also know when blind Bartimaeus responds to Jesus about what he wanted Jesus to do for him, Bartimaeus said, I want to see again. And all Jesus said in response was, then see. That's all it took. And even as the storm raged across the Sea of Galilee and the disciples feared for their lives, Jesus got up from his slumber, stood up, and the text tells us that he spoke a command, and the wind and the waves obeyed him. And the disciples were so astonished at the power of Jesus' command that they ask in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, who is this man who gives orders to the wind and the waves, and they obey him? From these examples and so many others that we do not have time to explore this morning, what we must genuinely appreciate about our Judeo-Christian heritage is that there is the inherent belief that there is power in the words of God and in the words of Christ. Now, you and I, we don't take our words for much credence most of the time. Like I said, we just have a tendency to just blurt things out, don't we, without much thought about it. I think it's because we're just so jam-packed with noise that we don't give much credence to the words we speak. But what we must understand is that as we look at the context of the New Testament and the teachings of the Apostle Paul, He reminds us that our words are so very important and so very powerful as a witness. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. We are not like so many others who handle God's message as if it were cheap merchandise. Or are we? But because God has sent us, we speak with sincerity in His presence as servants of Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul also writes, we always speak as God wants us to, because He has judged us worthy to be entrusted with the good news. On these occasions and several others, what Paul is trying to remind Christian people is that our words count. Our words are powerful because our words can be a witness to others, to glorify God and to uphold the message of Jesus Christ. There are indeed points of inspiration and power when we are speaking with people, even in the most casual of circumstances. And yet, there's also another aspect about the power of our words that I think is often forgotten. You and I know that when it comes to our confession of faith and belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there are several elements at play. One, there is God's great grace and His plan for the salvation of humanity, right? Then secondly, there is Jesus Christ being willing to be that final sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sin. Jesus had to go through the pathway to the cross and resurrection for salvation to even be possible for humanity. And He achieved that act of obedience. But there is a third element that we often forget, and that is the words of our confession. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Here Paul writes, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth, in other words, again, our words, one is saved. So do you see? There is a third element that is so crucial to our salvation, and that is our own spoken word of confession. If you confess me before men, Jesus says, I will confess you before the Father. But those words must be spoken. And what I think you and I need to appreciate is that there is the power of salvation in the words of our confession. So as we begin this series of messages about the significance of words and the naming even of names, I hope what you can appreciate today, first and foremost, is that there is great power in word. Power in God's word that creates. Power in Christ's word that heals. Power even in our own confession that is part of our avenue of salvation. So, even as we're going to be faced with yet another week of a lot of noise, a lot of words, a lot of music, a lot of video recordings of various sorts. You know, maybe what we really ought to do is turn it all off and then just ponder the power of words. And I ask you this morning, do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to hymn number 576, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. We'll sing all stanzas, please. thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. A reminder this afternoon, the fall festival at Don and Judy Thomas's house. And Don and Judy, again, we're so grateful for your generosity in welcoming us once again to your place. It's a lovely place if you haven't been there, and we all just have a wonderful time together. Again, remember, if you're wanting to carpool, we can do that here at the church, so we don't have so many cars on Don's land. We can meet here and park vehicles here in the parking lot, 345, and then make our way over to their place, which is not that far away. And the address is also listed there in your bulletin, as well as details about what to bring, okay? Also, a reminder, Saturday, 9 o'clock, we are having our work day here at the church. If we have the kind of weather like we've had the last couple of days or so, we'll be blessed with an opportunity to take care of a number of tasks here around the building. Please bring tools, help us out, especially yard kind of tools, as we've got a number of things to clean up outside. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit abides with us, and indeed we are grateful for the privilege to be a witness, even as our words, we hope, may be a blessing to others and draw other folks ever closer to you. Guide us as we depart and go about the task of this new week. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord.